I told them I needed two strong, handsome guys, and this was the best I could come up with, so. And actually, both of them, Stephen's engaged, anticipating marriage, and John's going to be graduating, so a lot going on in both of their lives. We've been talking about God is enough. That regardless of the storm in our life, the conflicts that we're going through, the battles, the fire Alan was singing about, that God is enough to sustain us, to strengthen us, to guide us through it. That God is enough. Today we will focus on the ascension of Christ and the fact that the ascension was for you and for me. Now, but let me take and remind you, the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, was for our sins. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid our sin debt. He died as an atonement for our sins. He died in our place. When He died on the cross, our sins could be forgiven if we just call out to Him. That's what His death did for us. Now, last Sunday was Easter, and we talked about the resurrection of Christ. And when we talk about the resurrection of Christ, we're thinking of eternity. Amen. We're thinking of how it provided for us eternal life. And when we think about the resurrection and Christ coming out of the tomb, the Bible says He was the first fruits of them that sleep. In other words, those who have died in Christ will one day be resurrected. It is the promise to us that when we die, death is not the end, that we have eternal life. Amen? But how about the here and the now? How about your problems? Anybody have any problems? Anybody sitting next to their guys, put your hands down. Let's face it, in life, we have issues. We have problems. The ascension provides for our life now. And I want to help you understand, if I can, how God wants to work in your life today and help you understand the process a little bit of how it happens, because I think if you understand it, Connie, I think they would do a lot more praying and petitioning God. I think if you understand the way God moves in your life, you'll be much more inclined to come before God and cry out to Him. And in the end, God moves when we ask Him to move. John Wesley said, "I am convinced that God does nothing but an answer to prayer." So with that, I want to talk to you about us. Now, I'm going to let this box represent us, okay? Now, I could have found a lot prettier box, but to be perfectly honest about it, our lives really aren't that pretty. Now, sometimes, you know, on Sundays we come to church and we look good, don't we? I mean, we come and we smile and we act like everything's okay. But so oftentimes our life is just, it's a mess. It is a grand mess. So this is us. And I've got a few things in here kind of that talk a little bit about us, okay? Let me see. First thing here, garbage. Anybody have any garbage in your life? Oh, do we got garbage. And garbage, it just seems to pile up in our life and it gets in the way of everything else that we try to do. Garbage is just in the way. And then, this is important. This is a set of building plans. Actually, I built my, this is what I gave to the city of Mesquite to fix up my farmhouse back here. Any plans in your life not going right? You've had plans. This is what my life is going to look like. This is where it's going to go. And it doesn't resemble it. Oftentimes it's because our plans have not included God. They've been our plans. Oh, bills. Oh my. Bills. Anybody got any bills? Don't they build up? The stack of bills get higher and higher, and our seems like our cash and check get smaller and smaller, doesn't it? So often, and it's amazing when you consider the affluence of our culture, of how much we spend so much time behind the eight ball trying to figure out, how am I going to pay all my bills? How am I going to take care of my expenses? Does God have any idea what's going on in my life? And He does, and Paul clearly tells us that God will meet our needs. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of your bill problem is not because of your needs. It's because of your wants. And we get ourselves in trouble a lot with our wants. We charge it, and that credit card bill gets bigger and bigger, and we solve it by getting another credit card. Or we decide, well, I can't afford to get my car fixed, so I'll just go buy a new car. And all of a sudden, we see the bills keep coming in and coming in. It's not the way God wants you to live your life. And you don't have to live your life that way. Let me see if any of you have these kind of problems. Health problems. Anybody here have any health problems? What is this thing anyway? Oh, it's a blood pressure cuff. Okay, all right, we got this here. You think things are going good, and then you go to the doctor, and the doctor just comes out and shakes his head. He says, we've got the results back from the test, and we need to talk. I doubt if there's a person here that doesn't have a friend or family member fighting cancer. I know, I think of Sean Stovall back here. He was so healthy just a brief while ago, and now he's battling. Tell you what, we never know about what's going to happen with our health, except to tell you, at some point in time, it's going to get a lot worse. We do battle health issues. Now, this becomes a problem for a lot of people. This is a photo album, and it says on it, family. One of the biggest issues we face in life is relationships. And often, it's relationships with the people who are closest to us. When you got married and you stood before the preacher and you smiled and grinned and said, I do, everything was good. But then somewhere down the line, there was a big fight and a big argument. And it seems like that oftentimes they keep surfacing in marriages, don't they? And we have learned the only way through it is the word forgiveness. It's not easy. Now, some of you, as we sit and look through this, I look at pictures of our grandkids and our kids, and ever think about your kids and what they're going through in their life? I think it's harder when we see our kids make mistakes than when it is when we make mistakes, isn't it? I think I would prefer to suffer financially than to see my kids suffer financially. There's so many people here that your kids have made choices, or your kids have gotten themselves in trouble, or something's happened in their life and it breaks your heart. These are part of our life. These are where we hurt. These are where we want to cry out to God. God, help me with the mess in my life and the garbage in my life and my finances and my health and all these relationships. God, I need help. And the Bible does tell us that God wants to meet our needs. And again, our needs may not be our wants. Because I'll remind you, God has one purpose in your life. One purpose. And that is to conform you and me into the image of Christ. Don, you might recognize this. The cross was what Christ used to express his love to us. The Bible says as we come to Christ, we have to bear our cross. So God sometimes allows things in our life that maybe we don't want, but God knows we need. Amen? So here we are. Our life is a grand mess. We're trying to balance our finances, balance our family, balance our health, balance the other junk in our life. And we cry out, God, help me. Now I want to show you how God's going to help you. But first, let me remind you of a God that loves you. We know that our God is three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you. We know these three make up the Godhead. We know that. Again, it is the hope of God and the plan of God to meet our needs and to conform us into the image of His Son, who is perfection. And how He is going to begin that process is through the ascension of Christ. So with that, if you would follow along either in your outlines or in your Bibles, if you would like to. We're going to examine the Scripture, so go ahead and turn if you would like. But first, let me just kind of remind you of everything, okay? Jesus has come forth triumphant out of the grave. For 40 days, He's seen with His disciples. He's seen with others. For 40 days, it's obvious He is alive. And then when they recorded in the first chapter of Acts, He's with His disciples and He's teaching them. He says, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And the Bible says, and while He was talking with them, He just began to rise and He ascended into the clouds. And two angels came and stood and said, ye men of Galilee, why are you looking up into heaven, the same Jesus you've just seen ascend shall one day descend. So, get going. Get busy. But let's look at the Scriptures. Jesus says this, I am going away to the one who sent me. And I know that you were very sad. But it is actually best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Counselor will not come. Now, depending on the translation of your Bible, it may say Counselor, it may say Comforter, it may say Helper, it may say Encourager. In the Greek, the word is Paraclete. It means the one that draws alongside. Jesus says, if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come. But if I go away, He will come because I will send Him to you. And it was not long after He said this when He was taken up into the sky as they were observing and watching. And He just appeared into the clouds. Now I want you to understand again that God's way of thinking, God's way of seeing things is far above ours. It'd be like us sitting down with a physicist and asking him to explain some of the technical stuff he's writing on the marker board. It's way over our head. Trust me, God is way over our head. So I'm going to try to kind of put it down a little bit if I can, where you can understand it, okay? All right, Jesus ascended from earth. All right? Now, when the disciples were here, Jesus was with the disciples. Amen? He encouraged them. He taught them. He tried to guide them. The disciples were with him. They liked him being with them. They did not want the Son to go. Their life too was a mess. But Jesus helped them keep things in order. But Jesus said, if I do not go, and he went. He ascended to the Father, the right hand of the Father. Let me tell you why he's there. Here's your first point. His ascension positioned him as our mediator. Or in Hebrews, he is called our high priest. This is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, this high priest of ours, understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the temptations that we face, yet he did not sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace in time to help. Do you remember what Jesus told his disciples when they pray? Jesus said, when you pray, pray in my name. Because you don't have access direct to the Father. It is through Christ that we have access. Christ is our high priest. In Israel, at the temple of God, the inner sanctuary was called the Holy of Holies. The Shekinah glory of God had filled it. The presence of God lived there for a while. The high priest of Israel, once a year, was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And there he could offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. That's what Jesus did, and that's why we're told in the Scripture, he is our high priest. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. When you pray to the Son. You pray in the name of Jesus, and Jesus presents it to the Father as your high priest. He intercedes for you. Remember, at base, we are sin. We are sinful people. We are even a lot of the good things we do for selfish reasons. We can be selfish, we can be bullheaded, we can be demanding. Except for the blood of Christ, except for Him cleansing us, we would have no chance of access to the Father. But Jesus says, pray in my name. And it's almost like we've got a man on the inside. We've got someone who is going to bring our petitions onto the Father. And that is Jesus. Now, I find this interesting. When Jesus was here for some 30-something years, all right? Jesus is not in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. There's just two of them. Jesus, if you'll remember, for 33 years was on earth. And it was just the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to the Father, and he ascends back to the Father. And Jesus had told them, when I will go, I will send back the Paraclete. I will send back the Comforter, the Counselor, the Encourager, the Helper. I will send him back. But notice, he did not come back immediately. I've often wondered what happened in those 10 days when Jesus was back with the Father and the Son. I don't know if they had a party, if it was a family reunion, but they were together again. Jesus was our high priest. He is our high priest. But he told his disciples he came for a second reason. Our second point is this. His ascension sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress. For we don't even know how we should pray for or how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Spirit pleads for us unbelievers in harmony with God's will. And we know, love this, and we know that God calls us everything to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. His ascension sent the Holy Spirit. So when the Father is with the Son, the Father sends the Holy Spirit to come. And not just to abide with us, but to dwell in us. So Jesus says, I must go back so that I can send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes again to meet our needs here. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, He guides us. Have you ever faced decisions and you didn't know what decision to make? Do I buy this house? Do I not buy it? Do I date this girl? Do I not date her? The doctor has given me an option. Which choice do I make? The Holy Spirit is our guide. We trust Him. We listen to Him. The Bible also teaches us that He helps us understand the Scriptures, that He teaches us what they mean and how we make application. Because I'm telling you, you can get in the Word of God. And if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you can come up with some messed up theology. It's real easy to do. All the cults around us are messed up theology because a guy figured it out instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you understand those things. The Holy Spirit also helps you when you pray. Let's say, for example, that you've got a stack of bills, okay? You got a stack of bills. And you're praying, God, I need help. Because of who we are and what we are, we're praying, oh God, help me. Send me some money. Amen? Send me money. I need money. Let it rain from heaven. Let somebody give it to me. Send me money to pay my bills because we think that's what we need. Maybe that's not what you need. Maybe you need to face what's going to happen when you don't pay your bills so that you can find out you need to avoid debt. So as you are praying, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, He interprets our prayer that's going to Jesus and then to the Father. Because again, we don't know what to pray or how to pray because we don't know what we need. Can you imagine if a child had to rightly understand everything he needed? Okay, our kids sometimes are hungry, okay? Well, I guess adults get that way too. I've observed here on Sundays that in our Sunday school classes, we bring a lot of donuts. I noticed that we're probably not bringing the healthiest of foods to eat. Kids like donuts too, by the way. I suspect if you take kids to the store and say, I know that you're hungry, pick what you want. Do you think they're going to the veggie aisle? Come on now. Oh, but mom and dad who know what they need say, no, come on. Let's walk over here. Let's look at some of these snacks. Because mom and dad know better than the child. Trust me, God knows more than you. And you may be saying, this is what I want. But God said, oh, no. But it's not what you need. How many times have we in intercessory prayer prayed for someone and we've prayed for healing? And we've prayed for God to deliver them. Because from our perspective, that is by far the best thing that can happen. But oftentimes the Lord says, no. It's not what needs to happen. So the Holy Spirit is there to help you better understand as you pray. The Bible says, with groanings. I remember the first church I pastored in Mahia, Texas, back in 74, I think it was. I'd preached, and a woman came to the altar. She was a very, Miss Robinson, a very godly woman. And she had problems with some of her grandkids, trust me. And I remember she came to the altar. And when she prayed, it was just almost groanings. In other words, she couldn't even articulate words. The hurt was so deep, she just wept and, oh, God, oh, God. Well, the Holy Spirit interprets that to the Father. It goes through Christ. And that is why the Spirit lives in us. That's why Paul said, Him in you, the hope of glory. That God dwells in us. He guides us. He directs us. The problem is we don't always listen to Him. We think we know better. I've tried, but I'm not very effective at using these navigation systems that tell you go a fourth of a mile and turn right and then turn left. I don't like them. I was listening one some time ago and I wanted to slap the guy upside the head. That doesn't work. And you know what? In the end, it was probably right, but I didn't think it was. We get so bullheaded, we think we know what's best for us. We are no different than the high school student that says, hey, the best thing for me is to drop out. Not getting anything out of my education. I can get me a job down here at McDonald's flipping hamburgers and I'll have a little paycheck. And from his perspective, it sounds smart. But from our perspective, boy, that's really dumb. So when we pray, we trust that the Holy Spirit is going to take our heart's desire, bring it before the Son, and the Son's going to bring it before the Father. All again for us here today. The Holy Spirit has the ability to clean up a mess in your life. And I know that some of us, we do have a lot of garbage in our lives. Can the Holy Spirit help us deal with our finances? Absolutely. But probably not how you want them dealt with. Let me give you two words. Discipline. Budget. I'll throw in a third one. Work. We don't like those words. We like the word give. Just give it to me, God. But then we end up in bondage to debt. God can help us get out of it. God can strengthen us through every health crisis in our life, and He does. He can help you with the plans for your life. The problem with the plans for your life is you decided what you wanted to do with your life instead of saying, God, what did you purpose me for in my life? How did you gift me? How would you have me use my life? And as we begin to pray and seek, the Holy Spirit begins to interpret. Wow. Family issues. They can be some of the toughest. It is a heartbreaking thing when I see sisters or brothers that don't talk. When I see kids that have nothing to do with their parents have nothing to do with their kids. Or I see friends that used to be close. And now they won't even speak to each other. The Holy Spirit can guide you into what you need to do. You've got a family member who's made some bad choices and you don't know how to handle it. Let God guide you. Let Him direct you. But you're not going to be successful there if you're trying to run the show of your life. because you don't have a vantage point of what's going on. Remember, God knows you. He created you. He knows what your limitations are. He knows what's coming in your life. He sees the storms long before they come. Now, I've noticed that one thing that we use a lot is a weather app on our phone. We'll pull it out, look, and we see the storms coming. And as the storms come, we decide, well, this really isn't a good fishing day, it doesn't look like, or a good camping day. Well, I'm going to tell you this. God knows the storms in your life long before they get there. Why don't you ask Him and trust His direction in your life? It's as we trust God. It's as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to strengthen us. As we pray, and we pray like Jesus prayed, Father, I really don't want to go through this, but nevertheless, Your will be done. Now, I'm not a very deep preacher, I've told you that. Although I get myself in deep trouble at home sometimes when my wife tells me to do something and I don't do it. But I heard a quote a number of years ago. I really like it. Simply this, you could write this down in your Bible. Just take it, remember it. Smooth seas do not a good sailor make. Did you catch that? Smooth seas do not a good sailor make. In other words, God can't allow everything in your life to be a bed of flowers. He's not going to strengthen you that way. He's going to allow the storms in your life to strengthen you. But you need the Holy Spirit to guide you through it and help you understand. But we are strengthened through adversity. And the Holy Spirit is always with us. But we allow Him to work in our midst. The ascension was for me and for you. So here's what happens. You have someone that you're praying for, and you're praying what you think God needs to do in their life to heal them, maybe to break them. Have we ever seen a child or a teenager going through issues in their life, and we think, God, just keep them from going through these storms? And the Lord says, no, they need the storm. I believe that sometimes God allows people to hit rock bottom. Did you believe that? God sometimes doesn't make it easy. He allows people who are making messes in their life to hit rock smack bottom. Because rock bottom is a solid foundation to build your life on. So that's why we pray, God, Your will be done. And we understand that we are not alone. That Christ, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, intercedes for us, prays for us. He is our mediator. And He sent the Holy Spirit to abide in us and to strengthen us. Peter says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God is enough. God is enough because of the provision He has made in our life. We have an advocate with the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. So I'm like Paul, if God be for us, who can be against us? But what do we do? Because right now, as we sit, some of you are going home to that stack of bills. And some of you have a doctor's appointment next week. And some of you are going to see a worker, a friend, a family member, that the relationship has been broken. What do you do? Let me tell you what the Bible teaches us that we need to do. Three quick things here and we'll close. First thing you need to do, you need to trust God. You need to trust him that he knows more than you do. And to trust, and trust with God is not a mental attitude. Trust with God is an action that reveals our faith in him. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, always talks about, and Abraham trusted God, and he, what did he do? Actions tell God that we trust him. If you want to deal with your finances, three words again, discipline. That means you control how you spend. Budget, that means you know where it's going. Work means you can get out there and work a second job and make a little bit more. May not be what you want to do, but I'll promise you God will honor it. God will bless it because it's his way. We trust God enough, and then we just obey. Like that old song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, obedience is not fun. Obedience is not popular because we all want to be independent. We all want to stand our ground. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. But as Christians, we must allow him to guide us, even when we don't want to do it. We trust, we obey. And because we trust and obey, we pray. Jesus, every day, the first thing he did, he went out and prayed, and he's God the Son. He tells us the importance of prayer. He tells us if you ask anything in my name that it goes through him, he said, I'll do it. James says, we have not because we ask not. We need to pray. How do you strengthen your faith? You pray. Like Connie said, you set yourself a dedicated time to pray. You set yourself a dedicated place to pray. You turn the television off. You get alone with God and you begin to pray. You begin to pray over the needs of others more than of your own needs. You begin to seek God in a closer walk with him. And you'll begin to sense his guidance and his direction in your life. But do you understand? Even though as a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, you still have the power to say no. Paul said we can grieve the Spirit of God. We can quench the Spirit of God. When we become so self-absorbed that even though the Holy Spirit has given us clear direction, we put our foot down like that toddler that you're testing and he says, no. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. Because when we say yes, it puts a smile on God's face. You want God on your side? Say yes. You want God to work in your life? Say yes. Heard the story of a father. One day his daughter came up to him. She was between 11 and 12, hitting those tween years when they can't decide if they're a kid or a teenager or an adult. They're kind of trying to vacillate back and forth. And the child had been to youth camp and come back and made some decisions. And she came up to her father and she said, Daddy, I've made some decisions. She said, I've decided from now on what you say goes. From now on, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm not going to argue with you. From now on, if you tell me I need to do something, Daddy, I'm not going to argue. And the man who was sharing this story, he said, what do you think I did? He said, I'll tell you what I didn't do. I didn't say, now I got you. I'm going to make you work and slave and make you do things that you'll be miserable to do. He said, that's what most of us are afraid God will do. He said, you know what I did? He said, I hugged her, I cried, and I said, let's go buy some ice cream. Do you actually think your Heavenly Father's any different? Do you know how much He longs to bless you and to love you? But you need to position yourself and say yes. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, we are all at different places in our walk with God, and yet we are all battling and struggling to surrender. As He is conforming us into the image of Christ, there seem to be new hurdles in our life every day that we have to clear. And what we have to do is learn to trust Him enough to obey Him, trust Him enough to pray, and say, God, Thy will be done. Now, our altars are open. If anyone needs to come pray, we certainly encourage you to. But right there where you stand, you can surrender to God. Right there where you stand, you can pray, Father, I yield to You. Father, I know that Jesus died for me. I know that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. And I've been trying to do things my way instead of Your way. Father, forgive my sins. I yield to Your authority in my life. I will be obedient to You if You tell me to mend that relationship. I will mend it. If You tell me I've got to handle my finances differently, I'll handle them differently. If You tell me I've got to give something up in my life, I'll give it up. Because, Father, I know that You love me. And I know that You want what's best in my life. Now, if you would just say, Pastor, that's where I am today. I need for God to work in my life, and I need to listen to Him. I need to surrender to Him, and I need to allow His will to be done in my life and not my own. Would you just acknowledge that by slipping up a hand as we pray together? And we're not going to call anybody out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Father God, You see our hands today, oh Lord. And You know, Father, that we battle, that we struggle, that we've got problems we're going through in our life. And we need You, Lord. Oh, how we need You, Lord. And Father, we pray that You would draw close to us as we confess, that the Holy Spirit would strengthen us and guide us and direct us, that Father, we might know Your perfect peace in our life. Father, give me strength as I choose to do what I know is right, knowing that in the end You will bless me. Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for the cross, for my sins were pardoned. I praise You for the resurrection and the hope it gives me of eternal life. Father, how I so thank You that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and that I am never alone and that I have the strength to say no, or the strength if need be to say yes. That I have the guider, the guidance, the counselor to help me choose my path. And that I have the encourager to walk alongside me when I feel like I've been beat down. So, Father, have Your way in our midst and in my life. I love You, Lord. Amen. Before you have a seat, though, I want us to do our recitation of God is enough. Share with me. God is enough. He sees all, knows all, is everywhere and can do anything. He created me, loves me, guides me, and provides for me. I will walk with Him, talk to Him, trust Him, and obey Him. God is enough for me. And I trust that is your heart's place today, that God is enough for you. Amen.